Free Energy Now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you will see a past and upcoming lineup of speakers. You can download past shows, and if you're listening live, there's a list of phone numbers there. You can call in with any questions you may have. I would ask you wait until near the end of the show to do that. We'll be going about 55 minutes here today, May 19th, 2008. Our guests today, we have actually four with us from SDE Wave Power. They're a wave power energy generation company in Israel, and the primary person we'll be speaking to is Aaron Bezalel, who is a marketing manager. Also on the call is Shmuel Ovadia, who is the inventor, as well as David Mucher, I might have pronounced that name wrong, and Michael Zott. They're with Power Generation and Electrical Engineering with the company. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Okay, thank you, too, Sterling.
And maybe you could introduce those two other names that I may have mispronounced.
Okay, with me is Mr. Shmuel Ovadia. He's the inventor of this method for generating C-wave electricity. And also Mr. Michael Zack, the utility power generation engineer, who has an experience of 40 years in Israel's electrical company. And Mr. David Mueller, the electrical engineer of SDE.
Very good. Well, why don't you? One thing I'd like to mention right at the top is your technology is one of our top 100 energy technologies over at the New Energy Congress. If you go to top100energy.com, you'll see this company listed there. And one of the reasons is because their price point is so low. They believe that they can generate power for as low as 2 cents per kilowatt hour, which is about half of what you're going to be paying wholesale for coal or natural gas power plant. And, of course, using a renewable energy source, the waves of the ocean, they have a system with buoys along the waterfront that are connected to a hydraulic system, and then there's a power generation system that's set back from the shore that takes that hydraulic input and makes it run generators. To start out with, why don't you describe in your terms and with a little more detail the system that I just described. How does this work?
Yes, our system works on a very simple method. We place buoys on a breakwater. The buoys press hydraulic liquid that is regulated by systems that convert the energy to circular systems that operate electrical generator. And basically the whole system works on hydraulic pressure. This is the whole idea.
One of the things that I asked today is, as I watched the video, we do have a feature page about you on our TezWiki.com website under SDE Wave Power. We posted a video there yesterday you supplied to us. It's now up on YouTube. And as I watched those buoys go up and down, it's not a regular pattern at all. It's very irregular. And I'm curious, how do you convert that irregular input into something that is fairly stable for, like, the grid?
For that purpose, we use hydropneumatic batteries that regulate the energy and make the energy flow regular. This is the whole point.
Okay, and that enables you to have a fairly constant input to turn a generator at a constant speed?
Yes, exactly. It's at a constant speed.
And you have prototypes that are in operation now, correct?
No, right now we don't have prototypes that are in use. We built before 8 models that were approved by the chief scientist of the government of Israel, approved and financed by this body. And our models were also checked by civil and electrical engineers.
Okay. And those are in operation, or you had those in operation in the past, though. Where did you, the video that I saw was an actual unit on the ocean. Maybe you can tell us about your prototypes that you've had in the past.
Maybe I'll let Mr. Michael Zuck speak about those prototypes.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Hi, I am Michael Zuck.
Hi, nice to talk to you. We're wondering if you could tell us about your prototypes that you have tested. How long did you test them? What kind of data did you get? Were you able to produce constant electrical output with the very irregular mechanical input of the waves?
Yes, it was the system consists only of 2 boilers, so the power generation was limited to about 300 kilowatts, and it was running on one of a small, on the breakwater of a small harbor here near Tel Aviv, and there we did all the testing and all the technical data that we collect from this prototypes, and totally it was eight. We used 8 prototypes till we reached the final one that was running smooth and nice according to our desire.
And one of the questions that
comes
up with a system like this is the ocean environment can be very harsh. First of all, you've got salt water, which corrodes metals, and water can also be problematic for metallic parts. How do you address these issues?
Look, like any steel vessel that they're using the seawater, floating in the seawater or sailing in the seawater or the ocean, the boys will have to, from time to time to pull one by one for maintenance, like cleaning and repainting, like any other equipment that is working in the sea environment.
So with the maintenance that would be required, do you think that you'll be able to produce electricity at 2 cents per kilowatt hour?
Yes. This is our calculation.
What about the up and down rise of the water with the tides? How do you adjust for that?
So if here in Israel, the up and down is only about 1 foot. So it was not a problem. In places where we have a higher difference between tides, the whole jetty that we are using will have to be raised and lowered according to the sea, to the water level.
Basically, these are look like doors on hinges, so that as the wave comes in, the door goes back and forth, floating on top of the water, pushing a hydraulic pump as it goes up, and then it comes back down with the wave, comes back up, and you've got a hinge section.
It pushes the hydraulic fluid both ways, by coming up and by going down. It's a double action.
So the weight of the buoy is substantial
to do some work also by going down.
Okay. And the up and down motion is going to be putting a lot of pressure on those hinges. So you move that entire apparatus up and down with the tide in a place where the tide is substantial.
Yes. The boys are not so big. They are, let's say, 4 meters by 4 meters. It's not huge balls. An invisible size.
The ones I've looked at look rectangular, not square in shape.
Yes.
You said
everything was working and was designed to work in such conditions.
Uh-huh. Have you installed a prototype in a situation where the tide rises and falls by quite a bit each day?
No, only by about one foot.
So you didn't have to adjust the...
No, because here where in our coast, in the Mediterranean, there is no big difference between low and high tide.
Uh-huh. Do you think that the engineering for a low high tide that is maybe a meter or more would be difficult?
I don't think so. It will be, we will have to design it to compete this problem.
Because that can add quite a bit of cost.
But it's possible, it's possible. It was checked and it's possible.
It's possible, but can it be cost effective?
Yes. No, it's a question of cost, that's all.
Yes.
Mr. Shmuel Ovadia, the inventor, says that till 5 meters different between high and low tide, there is no problem. He just wrote me on a piece of paper that from his experience, a difference between high and low tide, difference in 5 meters, it's okay, it's still okay.
And on your prototypes that you ran,
yes.
How long did you collect data?
About 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was financed by the government of Israel.
So they witnessed it and certified it?
Yes, we have all the documents, all the witness documents that it was working properly.
Okay. Let's talk about, while we're talking about mechanical systems, let's talk about the onshore energy generation section. You've got the pressurized hydraulic fluid that is pumped how many feet, and do you have a housing for your generators?
Machine house. The machine house can be even a quarter mile or even more from the boys. We can run the hydraulic oil by piping system to the machine house. In this machine house, we have the hydraulic accumulators, the generators, the electrical switch gears, and all the control system. Only 10-15% of the system is on the water. All the rest is on shore.
How much of this technology is off-the-shelf readily available? The hydraulic accumulator, is that something that's available off-the-shelf?
Yes, of course.
And that's what basically is your battery, so to speak, with the pressurized...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it turns it into a... Are you able to get a constant pressure coming out so you can spin
yes.
a turbine at a constant speed?
Yes.
I'd be
not
curious.
Only this. Our system consists of not one big generator, more small generators. So according to the hydraulic energy that we accumulate in the accumulator, we can put in generators, switch in generators and switch out generators to use what we have collected in the accumulator.
So you're turning on and turning off generators
if there is a difference in a wave pattern, for instance.
Generally speaking, how
yes.
much does wave power vary from the low end, the average end, and the high end?
I must ask, I know we have a paper on it. Excuse me 1 minute. מה הספק לפי גובה הגרעין? In a 15 meters, in a 1 meter wave, we can generate about 15 kilowatt per 1 meter width of a buoy. If we are using 1 meter from a wave that moves 1 meter up and down, we can produce from it 15 kilowatts hour.
Okay. Is wave energy similar to wind and air, or wind and water energy, where you have a cubed rule where you double your speed of the wind and you quadruple the power input? Is there a similar phenomena with wave size and power that comes from the wave, or is it linear?
Yes, generally yes, and we have some papers that shows from all kind of a wave pattern what can be produced.
Is it linear or is it logarithmic?
It's a little logarithmic, yes.
Okay. Now let's talk about hurricanes and storms that could destroy the buoys. What do you do in that case?
As soon as we have a dangerous situation in the sea, the automatic control system is sending oil pressure to the hydraulic pistons and pick up all the buoys up from the water, and they are waiting in outside of the water till the storm is over.
If you have a storm surge from a hurricane, the water's raising as much as 20 feet. How do you get it out of that?
We didn't try it, but generally the systems that they will be strong and strong enough. And it depends also on the environment. For instance, in Israel, we don't have hurricanes.
I imagine your marketing is for more than just Israel.
Yes. But many places, the hurricane places are limited. Most of the coast, they don't have hurricanes. But again, everything is designed in such an environment. We will have to design it stronger, and the boys are going out from the water completely backwards and waiting.
So, for now, your engineering is designed for non-hurricane, non-cyclone regions.
Yes.
And yes, later on, you may try to design.
We will have to, yes. Again, and some of the questions that you are asking, that we can compete with them, it's a question of investment. It will increase a little the investment.
What about if you had a storm and there was damage to the buoys, and say the hydraulic line was severed, that hydraulic fluid is leaking out into the environment. What kind of environmental hazard does that pose?
We can use, and we are not using ordinary oil. The idea is to use hydraulic fluid that will not hurt the environment.
There is such a thing?
Yes. That's what Mr. Ovadia, he checked it already, yes.
Okay. Now, what about the, as I looked at your prototype from the video,
yes.
You had basically a hydraulic cylinder going up and down.
Yes.
And all of that surface was exposed to water, salt water. Are there any special seals that have to be put in place to protect the hydraulic system from the caustic environment of the ocean?
Yes. But again, there is such a system needs also a certain amount of maintenance work from time to time, like every mechanical equipment that they're working in the sea environment.
And is this off-the-shelf technology?
Yes, but it was designed by Mr. Ovadia as a design engineer, and it will be on his shelf. Oh, but it's not, and now you cannot just go into a shop and buy it, because it's special designed for the system.
So part of your design was the hydraulic system and the protection of the hydraulic components from the sea environment?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Okay. I'd like to shift the direction of this conversation now to more of a business area. Who would be best to address those questions?
Give you back Mr. Bezalel.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
Have a
you.
Nice day, please.
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'd like to address now some business-related questions.
Okay.
In terms of where you're at in process of bringing this to market, bringing in investors, getting it ready to produce on a mass scale, do you have a design that you're ready to replicate, or are you still engineering for production?
We're already out of the engineering phase. Right now, we've received the orders at a total amount of $3 billion from several countries, and we are in the process of getting the financing for these orders in order to establish the Seawave power plants.
When do you expect to begin going into production?
Once we receive the financing for the Seawave power plants, we start building the Seawave power plants, and we're working on it, and we hope to finance the money as soon as possible.
So once that, let's just say in an optimal setting or semi-optimal, are we looking at 1 year, 5 years, few months?
Hang on a second, I will ask Mr. Ravanka. Mr. Ovadia says that hopefully we'll start building solar power plants in several countries within a few months.
Okay. And these would be...
And according to the absence of electricity throughout the world, we're going to build those solar power plants very soon.
And are these going to be prototypes, or are they going to be...
No, commercial seawave power plant.
Okay. And your prototype was just two buoys going up and down. When somebody buys a plant, how many buoys will there be along the shoreline?
One second. Depends on the height of the waves. It depends on the length of the coast. It depends on the capacity of the ordered electricity. It depends on many factors, many different parameters.
Give us an example of a scenario.
Okay. One.
Yes, it's Michael again.
Hi, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering, in your prototypes, you had two buoys going up and down.
Yes.
In a commercial setting, How many buoys would you anticipate putting out on the shore?
It will take about 50 meters long for 1 megawatt.
Okay.
In the Gambia, in Africa, in West Africa, they gave us a 7.2 kilometers coast line in order to achieve about 70 megawatts.
Uh-huh.
And it's a tourist coast where the tourists are running, and we say, yes, our boys, they will be about 100 meters in sea, so we are not disturbing to the tourist activities along the coast.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. You said that the buoys will be offshore.
If there is no breakwater, that we can support the buoys on the breakwater, outside of the breakwater, we are building a jetty inside the sea. We need at least 5-4 meters deep of the minimum depth of the water. So it will be around 100 meters from the coastline. Depend on the nature of the coast.
And tourists are okay with that? That's still
yes.
An invisible distance, isn't it?
Yes, but we saw there people are running or even riding horses and things like this. All the tourist activities, except one short region where the lines and everything, or we have to reach the buoys and things like this, the lines can be underground. Most or 99% of the coast will not be damaged or something like this.
Would you, if you were going 100 meters from the shore,
yes.
You wouldn't necessarily have to have these in a wide line, but you could have several rows, like a wind farm.
Several rows, and we are using both sides of the jetty, not only one side, like on a breakwater. Breakwater, we can use only one side, the outside of the marina or harbor or whatever. On a jetty, we can use the front side and the rear side. So we need less area.
And you have orders for such a system right now?
Yes. One in, at least one that I was involved is in Zanzibar, in East Africa, and the other one is in the Gambia in West Africa.
Uh-huh. Are you
in Gambia? It's the president wishes. He won the power station.
Uh-huh. Do you have any orders in the West over in the United States or?
Not as I know, but I must give you back, Mr. Bezalel.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
I was wondering if you have any orders for these in the United States, Canada, or...
Yes, we received an order for a 30 megawatt power plant in the U.S. By a Canadian firm. And that's for the U.S. And but we also have got the orders from other countries.
When a system is designed offshore versus being on the breakwater on the shoreline,
yes.
How much does that affect the cost of the unit?
One second.
There is no any disturbance or something like this to the coast.
Well, I'm asking about the price because it's going to be a different infrastructure. If you're offshore, you're 100 meters from the shore, for example, versus building right on the shore.
It will be more costly than if it's on a ready breakwater. Yeah, you are right.
And I'm just wondering how much more expensive is it going to be when you are off the shoreline?
I cannot tell you exactly, but what I can tell you is that all the calculations that Mr. Ovadia did with his engineering office shows that the price per 1 kilowatt is about the same price as in a modern combined cycle gas turbine. But the operation is with no fuel cost.
Right.
This is the big difference. The first investment is about plus minus 10 or 15% like a modern combined cycle gas turbine. So this is today the hot bread or the very, very popular. But with no fuel costs. And this is the big advantage.
Yeah. So the installation, the capitalization costs are within 10% of the natural gas power plants, which
not 10%,
are
about the same price.
Right. But that there's no fuel cost because...
But later when you start to operate it, there is no zero fuel cost.
Yeah.
Minimum maintenance like painting and some of it. If it's a big power station, someone must watch it. If it's a smaller, it can be remote control watched. And if there is an alarm or something, someone will take the car and go and see what happened. But almost zero operation, manpower point of view cost. And, of course, maintenance, like a mechanical system, mostly the boilers, yes, the boilers, not the in the engine room, minimum of maintenance.
Okay, I've got a question.
This is why we can compete such a low price per kilowatt.
Are you going to be a primary power source, or are you going to be supplementing some other grid power source?
I think supplementing other grid source. Except if it's an isolated island or something like this.
Uh-huh.
But most of the islands, at least I visited one, that they have old diesel generators. So what will happen is that this system will be the major power system, and the diesel, the old diesel generators, they will be the redundancy.
Okay.
That's what we spoke with this electricity company.
Would it make sense to overbuild so that you can meet the power demand most of the time, except on a very calm day when there's very waves are very small?
Yes. Yes.
How much would you overbuild? What's the business model when it comes to the size of the array versus the power demand?
It depends what pattern of wave in this area and the customer, how much you want over capacity, for instance, to be all the time on the safe side.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dependable from site to site. Cannot give you now the direct answer because it's different from one side to the other side.
Okay, let's say that you've got 20 boys for an island, and most of the time you only need 10.
Yes.
So you've got 10 that are unnecessary. What are you going to do with the extra power? Are you going to disconnect the...
No extra power. In electricity... I can give you the electrical generator. You can produce power only what the customer needs. Only according to the customers, they are pulling from your electricity. You cannot produce more than the customer needs. So according to, let's say, the difference between day and night. During the day, the load is higher. During the night, the load is about, in most of the countries, is about half. So all the unnecessary boys in this condition, they will be automatically lifted from the water and wait in the morning when loads start to raise. Slowly, slowly, a boy after a boy will go down into the water and produce the electricity. Also generators. Let's say it will be a line of 10 generators. So maybe at night, maybe only 4 or 5 generators will run. And in the morning, will come the 6 in and then the 7th in till all the 10 or all the 9 will be in operation.
Have you thought about some kind of battery system, such as a reservoir, pumping water into a reservoir that then drains during peak load. Because all during the night, you've got the same amount of power coming from the ocean as you have during, I mean, it's a constant input, basically. And yet the power demand on the human side is very spiky. You've got a spike in the morning.
You mean pump storage. The name of this system is pump storage. There are countries, there are not many, but some places are using this system of pump storage. It's a very expensive system, and it's coming to save. The idea is to save fuel. We are not fighting here to save fuel because we are not using fuel, any kind of fuel. So it will be cheaper to build more buoys and more a longer system that during the night will not be in use than to build this pump storage. It is a very, very expensive system.
What about using the buoys during off-peak hours to generate, to desalinate water, to create, to electrolyze hydrogen?
This is a fantastic approach, yes. This is very good.
Is this something that you're looking at?
Yeah, I spoke with one engineering company here that they are doing desalinating plant. But this is a very good combination, the best combination.
Uh-huh. Because you can produce clean water while you don't need the electricity.
Fantastic. This is fantastic.
Yeah. And also the thing that's nice about the water and the hydrogen production is that you don't have near the regulations that you do with electricity.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, there's one company that we were looking at last week that's a river buoy that has turbines along the perimeter of it generating electricity. And rather than try and sell electricity to the grid locally, they use their electricity to make hydrogen and clean water, and that's what they sell.
Yes. But again, the companies that want to sell clean water, they will invest in a big plant that part of the day, during the daytime, it will not be in operation. So again, it will be more costly, the desalinating plant. It's a very, you know, the blanket is a little short. If you pull it to one side, it will be short from the other side. So it must be calculated what is the optimum output from a certain investment.
Another
Either
model.
This what you, yeah.
I'm thinking of the California coast and mm-hmm. many coasts like it around the world where you have mountains near the ocean. You could locate a water tower up on a hill, use part of the energy to pump the water up into the tower, and then during the day, during peak time, as the water's coming down into the city, you can generate electricity through a turbine.
Yes, yes. But this is very, very efficient, what you said now, when you are producing electricity from gas, from coal, from oil, from everything, from expensive fuel.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are producing electricity from sea waves, it's less important because, as I told you before, and I'm not a specialist on this, but I know in my company, in the previous company, that this pump storage to raise water, pump water up to the mountain during the night and use it during the day for extra additional power, it's a very, very high costly system. So maybe just to build more buoys and more sea wave power station, even they will not be used during the night with the full capacity, maybe it will be even cheaper than this with the pump storage. But this is only what I know, and I'm not sure.
Okay, I've got another question in another area.
Yes, please.
There are a lot of wave energy generation companies out there. We have an index page on our site.
Yeah.
You know, in the region of 20 to 70 different companies around the world who are pursuing different approaches for harnessing wave energy economically. How do you compare to the other wave energy companies? Do you think that you're in the top 5, top 10? Where would you place yourself in your competitiveness price-wise?
Maybe in the top one. The two
top.
Because Mr. Ovadia can send you, he got all this information. There are a lot of systems, many systems, that they look very good, but either the whole system is in the water, in the sea, or even far in the sea, or very expensive, the construction of such system. And there are many, many systems that they were operating with a lot of failure or very, very high costly. Our system is the most simple system. Not sophisticated system, simple, and this is assuring that the system will operate perfect.
It also means that your maintenance staff doesn't have to be as educated and as expensive.
Not as expensive as the other systems. And look, if you have, let's say, a line of 200 boys, so you are keeping on shore, let's say, 3, 4, 5 boys spare, and in any occasion or during the night when you don't need the power, you are changing, taking the other few, cleaning, painting it, and putting next time back into water. So you can do the maintenance without disturbing the important hours where you need the power.
Now, with the system, 50% of the world's population lives, what, within 50 miles of the ocean or of some shoreline? Have you heard a number along those lines?
No, I cannot answer this question. But
the point I'm getting at is that wave energy can address the energy needs of a bulk of the planet. What do you anticipate to be market penetration, and how many years do you think it will take for wave energy to reach market penetration?
I cannot answer. I have no good answer on this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think one of your associates might?
Yes, but again, it will be not a scientific answer. Not yet. Not yet. Maybe in the near future, but not yet. But again, you are speaking, okay, you are from California, so you are speaking on the Californian coast.
I'm actually in Utah, two states away.
In Utah, I see. But in most of the world, the cost, the possible cost to use, they are empty. It's not like Venice Beach in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
You cannot build it in Venice Beach.
How far away from the shore would you need to go so that you don't have the visual pollution that would be a problem for tourist areas?
Depend on the ground under in the shore, if it's very deep, if it's very steep, and because then we have to put longer and more complicated columns in order to support this jetty. So I think it's very different from coast to coast. It's tailor-made for each coast.
Would it make sense to attach these around an oil rig?
Yes and no, because, again, how long it will be if you to take all around the oil rig. But for an oil rig itself, it can be economic.
Would that be
because the oil rig is not so long or big if you take all the lengths around the oil rig.
The oil rigs require a lot of energy to pump the oil.
Yes.
Could they not obtain their energy from wave action?
But to build the around the oil rig, the system is not, it will not be so big. It can cover part of the energy that the oil rig needs, part of the energy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about intellectual property. You've got patents. And what do
yes.
the patents cover and where filed?
I will give you again, Mr. Bezalel.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I'm curious yes. about your intellectual property ownership.
Yes.
The patents, what countries, and how many patents, what do they cover?
Well, we have a U.S. patent, we have an Israeli patent, we have PCT International, and we also have pending patents. We change and we improve the patents all the time.
And what do they cover on the design?
What is the cover on?
Yeah.
The design? Hello?
What do the patents address in the design?
Oh, once again. A combination of the patents cover the whole design of the system.
Okay.
Yes, okay, and we have various patents, and all in all, they cover all the design of our method and of our technology.
What about the, another question I had was, how long have you been working on this technology?
Practically, we've been working on the technology for 2 years. We built the model of the Jaffa port, and we've been working on it for 2 years. We have all the experience and knowledge to build fuel power plants at any magnitude.
The $2 billion in orders that you have, are those...
Yes.
Are those just interest, or has there been money put down on any of those?
We're speaking of orders and letters of intent. There are countries that are interested to buy our seaway power plants, and we're supposed to find the financing for building those power plants.
Mm-hmm. Are you a publicly traded company? How would somebody who would be interested in investing in your company go about doing that? And are you interested in talking to people who would want to invest?
Yes. Recently, we received a shell company, 90% of a shell company, of a Nasdaq shell company. And soon we plan to issue it on the Nasdaq. And anyone who wants to join our company or to buy part of our the company can do it through TVG. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, yes, the name of our share company is TVG. And this is our share company. And anyone who is interested in our company can see the data run on the NASDAQ.
All right.
But the issue is not closed. We're under negotiations, and we're working on the issue of the shell company.
Are there any areas where you have, where people, customers have been interested in installing this, but it has been opposed by either environmentalists or tourists? What kind of opposition do you have to the technology?
One second. Uh, Look, as of now, we haven't witnessed or faced any opposition. Everyone in the world is supportive of our technology. There's a high absence for electricity throughout the world. And the world is desperate for green and cheap electricity.
In terms of minimizing visual impact, are you considering painting the boys a certain color so that they don't stand out as much?
Oh, 1 second.
Yes, I told you in the beginning that, yes, the boys have to be treated like any floating vessel. Once a year or once in a year and a half should be pulled out and then cleaned and repainted, things like this. From time to time, there is maintenance work.
The question is not the paint itself, but the color. Are you planning to pick a color that will blend in with the environment?
Yeah, if the customer will desire special colors or things like this, according to the customer's desire.
Okay.
If someone need blue, it will be blue. If another customer wanted green, it will be green. If not matter, it will be. Maybe they get the cheapest color that can be painted because it should be special paint against water. Like
right.
If you take a nice cruise ship, the bottom is dark, and above the water is white, for instance.
So this would be a location specific. Have you, has anyone in your company actually made a study of what the best color combinations would be?
No, I don't think, no. As much as I know, no.
Okay. When you're installing a plant.
Yes, please.
How long would it take to, from the time you start construction to the time that you're commissioned as a power plant, how long would it take to install?
At least the first modules can run after about 1 year.
Okay.
Excuse me, 2 years.
2 years, okay.
Can, yes, but then you can continue and add more and more modules.
And would you also be, as you add more boys, would
yes.
you also be adding more generators in your...
In our machine house, yes, accordingly.
Okay. So it's quite modular.
We mentioned in Gambia. In Gambia, they want 70 megawatts, but they cannot take today 70 megawatts because they don't have the grid. So maybe they can take at the beginning only 15 or 20 megawatts. And with the time, as they will develop their own grid, we can put more and more generators, more boys and more generators, more boys and more generators, and double or triple or even more the system.
Okay. We've just got a couple of minutes before the end of the show. Are there any
yes.
issues that we've not addressed that you like to address about the technology?
I'll ask here my colleagues.
Yes, נקצת לסיום משהו מעניין, או זה שמישהו רוצה להעיר או להגיד?
We hope that our system will be used in many places and help the world to keep a cleaner environment and use less fossil energy.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, we do appreciate you joining us.
We too.
And we're glad that you're doing what you're doing, and we wish you the best of success in your endeavors.
Many thanks. Thank you again, and it was a pleasure to speak with you, for all of us. And hello from Mr. Shmuel Ovadia, from Mr. Aaron Bezalel, Mr. David Mula, and of course, myself.
And very good. Thanks again for joining us. And until next time, you've been listening to Free Energy Now. This is your host, Sterling Allen.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.